Welcome back, guys. Welcome to Tough Conversations. My name is Samuel. It's been a very, very long time we've had any episodes, as I've been very, very busy. But this is a very big game. This is a historic game. 3 days to the game, or rather 2 days to the game at the time of recording. Today's episode, we'll be talking about Chelsea versus Barcelona being hosted at the Stamford Bridge, a monumental clash on Tuesday, 8 p.m. local time, 9 p.m. in most other countries. So joining me for this conversation today are two Barcelona fans and a long-time Chelsea fan, very, very, very knowledgeable about football. And I have them with me here today, and we're going to break down this clash between Chelsea and Barcelona. So with me, first person with me today is Samito. Mr. Samito, how are you doing? Welcome to Tough Conversations.
I'm doing okay, man. Good to have you guys here. Good day to the other folks in the house as well.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ayomide, welcome back to Tough Conversations. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me as always. It's a privilege to be here. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on the panel. And welcome for the first time, a Chelsea fan. I went to school with him, passionate, knowledgeable. Obviously, so much banter has gone on between us for the longest time. Prince, welcome to Tough Conversations. How do you do?
I'm very fine, Sammy. It's a privilege to be here. Good afternoon, everyone. And
Right.
so I, yes.
Yeah. Welcome, 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 Prince. Right. So, like I said, it's a historic clash between Chelsea and Barcelona. These are age-long enemies. This is one game since the draws were made. I definitely have been looking forward to this particular game, and I can't tell you how much I'm waiting for Tuesday night. The head-to-head record between Chelsea and Barcelona are Barcelona with 3 wins, Chelsea with 3 wins, and 6 draws between them. So you can tell you how should I say, tough these matches have been over the years. Growing up, all I, in fact, when I started watching football and picked Barcelona as my club, every single year, as at that time, we played Chelsea. And being a Barcelona fan, losing to Chelsea in those early years. In fact, at the Stamford Bridge, we've won only once. Eto'o late goal at the Stamford Bridge to put us ahead, and then we qualified out of the round of 16. But prior to that, we have been losing every single time we went to the bridge. So this game on Tuesday would be a statement game, and I believe, well, we'll talk about it, but I believe Barcelona should come out on tops. As I said, last time Barcelona won at the Bridge was 2006, a 2-1 win, late Samuel Eto'o game, late Samuel Eto'o goal at the Bridge, I think around the 80th minute thereabout, and then Barcelona came out victorious. But trips down to the Bridge have not been pleasant for Barcelona. So the team statistics for this season, Chelsea has got 12 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses. And then Barcelona has got 12 wins, 2 draws, and 3 losses. So basically, both teams have been, should I say, on par because there's a pretty similar record this season between both of them. So heading straight into the key talking points, everything revolves around the high line, Hansi Flick's high line. But for the past 2 games, it looks as if he's adapted. He's taking into account that you cannot always look to outscore your opponent in every single game you go into. So therefore, you might as well try and prevent your opponent from scoring on you. So coming to you, Mr. Samito, what has been your observation in the past 2 games versus Celta and just yesterday versus Bilbao concerning Hansi Flick and his high line?
Thank you for that question, Sam. Regarding the Highlands specifically, like you asked, so I think there's been a tweak. What I noticed, let me start from yesterday. What I noticed yesterday was Koundé wasn't pressing as high up as he normally would, and even Lamine wasn't starting the press sometimes. to the goalkeeper. So I think this kind of left us less exposed. And then the high line wasn't just an every moment thing. It was only used when needed, maybe upon attacking them, upon attacking our opponent, maybe there is a quick transition, a quick counter attack. That is when our players see the need to keep that high line and then, try out the offside trap. I'm not sure if we were even able to catch our opponent offside up to two, three times yesterday, which is very strange, of course. And that's because we actually knew when to sit deep. We knew when to sit deep. And we sat deep when needed, and we attacked. We played beautifully. There was an attempt to there was an attempt to explore the left wing because Balde went ahead, went forward much more than Koundé. We often saw Nico Williams, going out there to try to take advantage of Balde being an attacking-minded fullback. But then we were still able to keep that balance out. That's for yesterday. And from the last match, the previous match against Celta, we were still left exposed, and we were caught off guard a couple of times. And as you saw, Celta were able to score two goals against us, and these two goals came in the similar fashion with which we have always considered most of the goals this season. So it is still unfortunate that that problem persists. So the question remains open. Are we really, is Hansi Flick really trying to manage the high line, or is he or was yesterday an extraordinary phenomenon due to the ambience and the spirits of a new stadium? That's left to see.
So I totally agree with that take. But my other rebuttal would be in the second half of the Celta Vigo game, it was a much more composed back line. And someone would probably say yesterday, because of the centre back pairing, there was no pace in it. So definitely Kubasi and Gerard Martin definitely would not be, one of the pacier guys like say Araujo or Christensen. So therefore, he lowered his line a bit. And it played very well into our hands because Kubasi could defend everything in front of him. And even when Araujo came on in the second half, that's his specialty, his bread and butter, defending everything in front of him. And against Chelsea, that will play a very, very good role, I believe, against their super speed stars. I put super in front of that because the entire Chelsea's team is about physicality, technicality, and speed. Coming to you, Prince. How do you think Maresca is going to approach the game versus Barcelona? You've just heard a Barcelona fan talk about the high line, what our manager has looked to do with and without specialty, or should I say, special players involved. But what do you think Maresca is going to set up like versus Barcelona on Tuesday?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, you're allowed. Audible.
Okay, so I have like different point of view on, should I say, what to expect, because when it comes to Maresca and the way he thinks, the thing that makes him stand out with most of the world best coaches is that when it comes to the big games, he approaches them uniquely. It's not necessarily something that you can say that you can actually predict. You might be able to predict the XI, the starting 11, but you cannot predict the setup.
Right,
Because
correct.
like what we did against PSG was actually the second time we used that system. The system was actually the second time. The first time we used the system, we lost. We used it against Flamengo in the Club World Cup. Flamengo beat us, but he repeated the system. He repeated the system because I think he was exploring that system for the eventuality of progressing. And then he used the same system, the exact same system that he used. He used it again because probably he. In his in his technical overview, he must have realized that that Flamengo and PSG, in terms of how they use the ball and with and without the ball, maybe they shared similarities. So he employed it again. And then it worked the second time. But then what was most, should I say, the standout difference was more of how Chelsea shaped up without the ball. You
Right.
could see although Enzo Fernandez is a midfielder, Enzo Fernandez in the defensive shape was part of the two front forwards.
Yes,
So he played.
alongside João Pedro. Yes.
Yes. So you see 4-4-2, but then you have Rhys James in the midfield. You have Rhys James in the midfield, then you have Palmer
On the flanks.
at the right, on the flank. So he is the tweaks, those little details. That's what makes Maresca very different. So for Barcelona's setup, I would say probably yes. You already know the players. We already have a fair idea of the players that might start the game. But how he would employ these players to play against a high line is what I'm not really exactly sure what he might be looking at. He might be looking to use the pace of Neto plus Estevao. You see, those kind of
On
dynamics,
either
you're
side,
not really sure on either side.
yeah,
Does he want to use?
with Copama missing due to injury, yeah.
Yes, so he might want to use something like that, both Neto and on a good day, he does not start both Neto and Estevao. So these are the kind of things he might want to do because he might need spacey forwards, it's people that on the ball, their decision making is immaculate and also they are fast. And you know that in the Premier League right now, Chelsea are the fastest team in terms of breaking on the counter. So, with that in mind, he might be looking for something like that. And then, rightly so, I'll be expecting that Barcelona drops their defensive line a bit. Because the reality is that it will be a gamble. Your coach might want to gamble on the fact that, okay, this is how we play. Most coaches are stubborn like that. This is how we play, and this is how we'll continue playing. And so, he might gamble on that. Yes, they might concede quite all right. But I also see the game ending something like a draw. It's not necessarily an out and out game where I feel like one team has an
One team
edge over
gonna,
the other.
yeah. One team is gonna
Yeah.
come and blow the other team out of the water. Thank you for that submission, Prince. Coming to you, Ayomide, we've heard from the Chelsea fan that Maresca is obviously a mad scientist, so we're not quite sure how he's going to set up. But coming to you, how would you set up your defense, knowing fully well we've just spoken about Chelsea having one of the fastest players and they break out the most in transitions? I mean, their attack. Just their attack. They've got Garnacho on the left. They've got Gittens as his assistant. They've got Neto as a starter, and they've got Estevao as his assistant. And in forward line, they've got João Pedro and Delap, who are very, very quick. And even our boy Guyu yesterday, I saw that he assisted the second goal. So how would you set up our defense, having this in mind? And also, how would you set up our defense, also knowing the fact that Chelsea has scored 6 goals from set pieces, even though we have also scored 4 times. So, considering the height difference, considering the pace difference, how are you going to set up our defense?
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, I would like to add that, of course, it's not my job. I'm not a coach, but then I hope Flick attacks this or face this game with, like tackles it as a setup entirely, not individually, like not putting into consideration the, okay, not like not putting into consideration the players. I mean, like not really putting too much importance on like the players. And yeah, the speed and all of that, because Chelsea is very, very surprising with their starting lineup. You never know who's starting. You never know who is playing from this flank or something. You can be confused. So if he wants to like attack the team based on the players that are playing, it might be a problem. So I would just say that I'm happy, first of all, that Juan Garcia is back.
Very
Yeah, it might
important.
sound it might sound cliché,
Very
but then
important.
this we know that no matter how Flick, tone the high line a bit or dies it down a bit, no matter how, we're still playing the high line. Yeah, even if the opponents cannot like exploit that, regardless, we are still like playing the high line. But one thing is this: with John Garcia back, I know he's athletic enough to, come out for loose balls and all of those things. So I know that at least our vulnerability in that aspect has been reduced to a certain level.
Very
But
true.
coming back to your question, that how would I set up? Yeah, because of the old set piece thingy, maybe many Barcelona fans wouldn't like that. But then I'll still throw in Araujo. Left to me, I believe he rested Araujo intentionally because of the Chelsea game. I choose to believe that because I don't see where he's going to be starting Kubarsi and Gerrard Martin again as the starting centre back against a
Definitely
fast
not.
and pacey Chelsea. Exactly. So no matter how bad he is supposed to cover for someone or something, I still don't see how both of them are starting. So obviously, I think it's still going to be the normal back line, which is the Koundé, Kubarsi, Araujo, and what's it called, Baldi. But then I just hope that this is the way I wish to set up. But I just hope that they play a little bit like what they did yesterday. Samito was saying something, and I relate 100% with that. Before, this used to be our biggest problem. Both fullback are always high up on the pitch every time. But for some weird reason, I think the only place that they could exploit was Baldi's wing. And understandably, because Ferran was mostly in the pocket, he was not like holding the flank. Baldi has to like,
Exactly.
make those runs. But Koundé was coming out only when we attack. So when we are, on like defensive, whatever we are about to press, he's always at the back. And yeah, Lamine Yamal adjusted the way he goes. So I just hope that is not a one-off or a fluke. I hope they actually know what they are doing, because if that is what they are doing, then yes, the back line is going to be solid. It's still going to be that same line of that same back line, I believe. Then Juan Garcia be there is going to be a plus for us. So yeah, I'll just keep it short that way.
I think that's roughly the same backline we used versus Newcastle, but Baldé was out and we had Gerard Martin
Yeah,
on,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Juan Garcia was there, and Juan Garcia made crucial saves, crucial saves versus Newcastle and picked up 3 points.
Yeah, very right.
Coming to you, Samito, do you agree with the backline? That's the first question. And obviously, Eric Garcia has not been mentioned yet in the backline, which for me, I do fully agree with it, because my second question to you will then be, if Eric Garcia is not in the back line, are we set to see Eric Garcia play as a single pivot versus Chelsea and being flanked by, obviously, Fermin is in amazing form right now. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists. And obviously, Frankie was suspended for the Bilbao game. Thankfully, he did not come back to haunt us because Eric Garcia had an immaculate game as a single pivot versus Bilbao at home. But we're going away this time. And we're going to shortly talk about Chelsea's midfield. But would your midfield three, your midfield trio, would it start with Frankie, Eric Garcia, and Fermín López? And do you agree with Ayomide's backline, which I fully agree with as well?
Well, popularly known, as much as Maresca is full of surprises, Hansi Flick can also be a handful sometimes. There are a lot of times we've seen back lines that we do not quite agree with. Nobody expected Gerard Martin to start as a centre back yesterday, but we saw it. But it was logical because Eric had to be moved up front to make for the absence of Frankie and Pedri. And also, so with the back line, we might just see that Hansi Flick can decide to start Kubasi and Eric Garcia again. He can decide to. Now, I say this not because it's what I want, but over time, I have seen Hansi Flick try to, explore some of these things. He so much believes in the ability of his center backs to play out from the back. He so much believes in that. So, I mean, that's a surprise. So, what I wish versus what Flick would do can be two different things. And also, Gerard Martin, I wouldn't be surprised if we get to see a bit of him, though the chances of that is very low. I know he took Balde off, probably to give him some more rests as
Yeah, it
against the
was a
Chelsea
precaution.
game
It was a precaution. Yeah, he's fit.
because of his earlier knock. So I mean, Gerard Martin had a fantastic game as a centre back. He has the height to compete for duels, aerial duels. So this could be something going on in Hansi Flick's head. So as of today, the only guaranteed starting lineup from Hansi Flick, the only guaranteed unit or member, Kubasi, Koundé, they will be starters. As for the other partners, it is yet to see how Dani Olmo would perform. For now, I would like to blend this with your midfield question. For the
Okay.
midfield, I see Fermin is irresistible at this point. I know my Chelsea fan over there might be wondering why they didn't just pay more than that 40 million euros they wanted to offer for Fermin, but that's by the way. So I see Fermin in the starting 11. So it is left to see how Dani Olmo and Rashford will perform in training between today and tomorrow. And I say this because if Rashford is exceptional in training, then we might be tempted to see Rashford coming back to the starting 11 as a left winger. I was out because he had a flu. And if Olmo is outstanding, we might be tempted to see Fermin as a 10, Olmo coming as a deep line playmaker in quotes, and then Frankie, which would mean Eric Garcia would find a way to slot himself in the
Back
center
in
back.
defense,
You
right?
understand? But I see Balde on the left. I see Kubasi on the right center back. I see Koundé on the as a right back with Juan Garcia. The left center back position has put us under a lot of and Hansi Flick as well, under quite some confusion
A
this
bit of a
season.
quagmire right
So
now. Yeah. About
uh,
40
it, it
play
is it is
LTP.
left. So it is left to see. But regardless, Eric Garcia is going to start. But if you ask me, Sam,
Yeah.
I would say in a simple sentence, Eric Garcia is better everywhere else than his actual position.
Truly.
It's, as a center back, it magnifies his shortcomings, which is a little bit
Peace,
of
height.
attentiveness, height, pace. But as a right back or as a defensive midfielder, you see all the playing, you see all the tackles. It is easy. I know how many balls I saw him win at the final third
Yesterday
yesterday.
was a
You
total
understand?
performance from Eric Garcia.
The first goal from Lewandowski was a result of Eric's high pressure, and that is what is expected of a DM. If he loses the ball there, the risks are much lower than losing the ball as a center back. So
True.
I wish he could play as a DM.
In the absence of
While
Pedri,
in the absence of Pedri,
Pedri has been confirmed not
found
to
to be
be.
absent,
Yes.
by Franz Miguel. So Eric, Frankie in that base, Fermin Lopez right there, Rafinha on the left wing. I know Flick might want to use that because he has he's been out for long, so it could be dicey as well. We might see Rashford start, and then maybe as the game progress, or we might see Ferran. That's a good one. We might see Ferran on the left wing, Lewandowski at the middle, Lamine on the right, and then Fermin at the 10. Then the pairing of Frankie Eric. Then we see Balde, Kubasi, Araujo, Koundé, and Juan Garcia. That's what I think would be the likely starting lineup.
I think I most likely agree with that Rashford starting, but we'll come to that conversation. You will sit tight. Coming to you, Prince. Playing Chelsea has been, like I said, a nightmare for me. I remember 2012. I told my very good friend Ife, who was a Chelsea fan, or who is a Chelsea fan right now. I told him, "How are you going to stop Messi, who is on his way to scoring?" That year, Messi broke the 84 goal calendar. 84 goals in one calendar year record of Gerd Muller. He was on fire the entire season, even though Barcelona could not retain the La Liga. And he told me, against Barcelona or in the big games, Chelsea find a way of cordoning off our best players. So our best player right now is Lamine Yamal, an 18-year-old. Do you think it will just be Cucurella versus Lamine Yamal? Or do you think the mad scientist Maresca is going to find a way of, cordoning off, Lamine Yamal, stopping the balls from reaching him, not even just allowing him get the ball and then trying to meander like Messi would? Because when Messi played versus Chelsea, there was like a lock in midfield where you see Meireles today, you are seeing the next time you are seeing Ramirez there, you're seeing Lampard here, you are seeing John Obi Mikel there, you are seeing Essien here. They were coming from all angles. So do you think it's going to be something like that? Because I fully expect Maresca to play Reece James in midfield alongside Moi Caicedo. And that is my biggest worry as a Barcelona fan, because without Pedri, I don't know how the balls are going to get to Lamine. So how do you see Maresca handling our best player, Lamine Yamal, starting from midfield or left back?
Obviously, Cucurella is very familiar with Lamine Yamal from the national team. So my natural guess is that they have been up against each other in training ground, and so there's that familiarity of his style of play and how to stop him. So I don't really think that it's so much of an uphill challenge. You see, it's different from someone whom you have not faced before. It's like your first time. So from training in the national team, I think there's some familiarity there, and also probably where from the Barcelona Academy, probably there is that understanding of the style of play, being that Cucurella is from the academy. So there's that familiarity on how Barcelona utilizes forwards. And there's all that knowledge. So there is that understanding. And then yes, like you said about the how to stop Lamine Yamal and stuff, I don't really think Maresca approaches games like that. He does not approach it based on specific players. He approaches it based on how to stop the team. That's what I think he does for the most part. Because for instance, if you look at that PSG match, realize that you cannot say how to stop Kvaratskhelia. You have Dembele, you have Kvaratskhelia, you have Vitinha. There was star quality all over the pitch. So
Right, even
you are,
at fullback, how to stop
yes,
Hakimi?
even
If there was a
how
plan to
to
stop
stop
Hakimi,
their left back too.
Nuno
So
Mendes.
there was, yeah, Mendes. There was star quality everywhere. So if you are concentrating on how to stop their star player, Dembele, then you are going to miss the whole picture. So I don't think Maresca approaches games like that. I think he would approach it from a tactical point of view in terms of how Barcelona approaches games. He is the kind of coach who is. And the reason why I think that for the most part, Chelsea are lucky to land a coach like Maresca is because we are talking about the likes of Guardiola in the terms of the obsession and love for football. Maresca is like that. He has that obsession. You can see it when he talks about football. There's the obsession is there. That willingness to want to, be a better manager, be a better man himself. So me thinking about that, I would say that first of all, my theory on football generally is that football is a game of midfield. It starts and ends in the midfield. For me, that's my philosophy on football, and that's why Pep Guardiola's philosophy appeals to me a lot, because midfield dominance for me is the beginning.
That's a new
So
one.
when
That's a new one, because all these years I've known you, you've always hated Pep Guardiola. So that's a new one.
Oh yeah, like having to like dive into the technical aspect of football, is different from being a fan. When you dive into the technical aspect of football now, that's when you start seeing the game for what it is. So yes, Pep Guardiola, I really appreciate his ideas on football and on how his influence and all of that. So I see the game now very, very differently. Looking at the midfield setup, one thing I know for certain is that There is no way that Chelsea loses the midfield battle against Barcelona. There's just no way. Even with Pedri and De Jong as starters, I do not still believe that
Are you
Chelsea.
sure about
Yes. So it's not. It's,
Are
you
you sure? Are
wait,
you sure
wait. It
about
it's
that?
not. It's not a thing of this thing. Me, I feel like it's a what do you call it? How do I put it now? You see, when you talk about defensive attributes, when you talk about attacking attributes, where I will give Pedri a like thumbs up, I think where Pedri betters both Fernandes and Caicedo is in this his masterful way of
He's on the
distributing.
ball, on the ball
Yes,
attributes,
yes,
basically.
yes, yes. He's on the
Yeah.
ball attributes, distributing passes, and being at the right place at the right time. Those kind of a thing. That's where I would give it to him. But when it comes to the whole midfield, the
Tackle the
defensive,
midfield.
the defensive, the state of the art of midfield display. I don't think that there are much midfield options apart from PSG. That I will give a credit that I will say are better than Chelsea's midfield trio. In the absence of Palmer, I will say we are a bit weaker. If Palmer was available, the combination of Palmer, Enzo Fernandez, and Caicedo is one of by far. Even right now, without Palmer, we have this guy. We have some guys that we bought and that has come into the team and are very, very good.
Oh,
So I would say
Anthony, Lavia is out.
no. Yes.
Who are
So
going
this
to be
guy
your three midfielders? Who do you think are going to be your three midfielders versus Barcelona? As
versus
we quickly
Barcelona.
round up. Yes.
Yes. So we don't really do. So Chelsea plays a flat 4-2-3-1, but in possession and out of possession, the formation looks different. So sometimes we play a 3-2-4-1, sometimes we play 3-1. 3-1-5. So it's different. It depends on the team. So we are not like 4-2-3-1 like or 4-3-3. We don't play 4-3-3 for the most part. I think 4-3 the way he approaches the his setup is mostly 4-1-4-1. So he makes Enzo Fernandez part of the attacking midfielders. So it's mostly like left half space, right half space, left wing, right wing.
So,
So
who are going to be your three midfielders? Three names.
for three midfielders, I don't know, but I think he might just drop João Pedro behind number 10. João Pedro might play number 10. I am not
So you are
exactly
expecting the
sure,
lab to
but
start.
maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think the lap start. He has not made a case for starting. I think João Pedro should start, and then at 10, I think maybe Estevão should play 10. That's what I think. But like I say,
I don't think that game will be a game for experiments. But anyways, thank you very much, Prince, for your addition and contribution. I will just quickly come to you, Ayomide. As we quickly round up right now, could you just tell me, Lamine Yamal is starting, Lewandowski is starting. Who is going to be your left winger as we quickly round up, and your match predictions for the game?
First off, about the predictions, there's a prediction for hope and what I actually think can play out.
Right.
I don't know if it was Prince or Samito that has said something earlier about the game probably ending in a draw. I
It was
actually
Prince.
like, yeah, I think
Yeah.
I can see that game ending a draw, but what I'm sure is that it's not a goalless draw or something. I feel like it's a high scoring game.
A
That's
2-2
first
draw.
thing. Yeah, kind of like a 2-2 draw. Don't be shocked even if you get a 3-3 draw, something like that. Like the Club Brugge Barcelona game, something like that. But then coming back to what was the first question again?
Lamine Yamal
My
starts on
attacking,
the right. Lewandowski starts through the middle. Who starts at
then
left?
who is First of all, we all know that, of course, Rafinha can't be thrown into the starting lineup like that. I don't think he can be thrown into the lineup. But if he was fit, of course, we know our starting lineup. But then, I would really. It sounds not, unlike Barcelona. But then I would still go with Ferran, in as much as I'm not a fan of Ferran Torres like that. But I feel like I will start with Ferran Lewandowski, not because of what he played last week, but just so that the press can be complete. We know Rashford for something, not because he doesn't want to press, but it's so hard for him to understand the press. He presses and miss. That's what I believe. So, in as much as we want Rashford experience in time of the Premier League, whatever he's played against Chelsea and all of that, I still don't think that like means he should start. Although I believe it's going to be Rashford, Lewandowski, Lamine, but I hope it should be Ferran, Lewandowski, Lamine. Yeah.
Yeah, Rashford has 6 goals versus Chelsea. They are one of his favorite teams. I think he starts, but I don't truly want him to start. Obviously, if Rafinha had minutes under his belt, he would have definitely been the starter, the undisputed starter alongside the trio from last season. Coming to you, Samito, as we quickly round up, please, what are your match predictions for the game on Tuesday?
All right, guys. So, in the absence of Pedri, Frankie, in the absence of Pedri and Frankie duo, which has been our strength for the most part of the season, I see the game ending as a 2-2. That's a full-time draw, and I know Chelsea would dominate the midfield and win the midfield. And just a bit of digression, reference quickly to what Prince said earlier on. In as much
Yeah.
as Pedri and Frankie are very good at attacking. The reason why I disagree with Chelsea dominating the midfield, if they were fit, is because they are not just good at attacking. You cannot just get the ball off them. So if you do not have the ball, there is nothing for your midfield to do with the ball. I say this with all due respect, though. I just wanted to share my thoughts on that. So I see the match ending as a 2-2 starting lineup. I see Ferran, Lewandowski, Lamine. I don't think Ferran gets.